This is a HeadGum Podcast.
You guys know how much we love health and beauty, which is why we love Knipe. Knipe is the plant-based solution to self-care. Knipe has been nature's expert for 125 years, creating plant-based vegan bath and body products. They're amazing. The company was founded many years ago by a Bavarian priest who founded the naturopathic and hydrotherapy movement. Many of his writings inspired Knipe's bath and body products as they are today. It's a legendary line. All products are also processed gently using innovative product methods. Products are tested comprehensively to ensure optimal efficiency and skin tolerance. Formulas are also developed using top quality, all plant-based functional ingredients. It's truly amazing. I love the Arnica Joint and Muscle Collection. They have these bath oils that are amazing, that are so soothing, and I really love them. And afterward, I love to use their body oils. The Arnica one is great, and I really love it. I love knowing that I'm using a vegan, cruelty-free, paraben-free, no preservatives, paraffins, silicones, or mineral oils. It's really nice to know that what you're putting on your skin is pure and great. So I just think that you guys should all try it. And I think you're going to love it because you will get 15% off of your first order by going to Knipe.com. That's Knipp.com and use promo code LOVIN, LOVIN at checkout. That's 15% off of your first order by going to Knipe.com, Knipp.com with the promo code LOVIN at checkout.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Lady Lovin'. I'm Jilly Hendricks, as always, joined by the beautiful Greta Teitelman.
Hello.
And Lo Bosworth's ghost, because she's not on this episode today, but
Lo
we love
Bosworth
her.
Lo Bosworth has strep throat.
Yes. Hello. So send her a DM and say, hope you feel better. But
please
we are
do.
Also joined by an amazing, talented, intelligent, beautiful.
Oh, stop.
Stunning.
Stop.
Smart guest.
Okay, keep going.
Yeah. I'm staring at right now. We are have Arielle Gordon in the studio with us today.
Hi, everybody.
So excited.
So excited Super to be excited. Here. Fresh off a red eye.
Arielle is the founder and owner and designer of Arielle Gordon Jewelry.
Sure I love
am.
That.
Yeah.
Sure am.
And yep.
Beautiful jewels. Beautiful jewels. We love jewels very much.
We're very excited to have you today to talk about.
I'm so excited to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Starting your own business.
I did that.
And
yes.
Motherhood.
I did that twice.
And
yes.
Marriage.
Only once so far.
Okay.
yeah. Did that.
So all the things that, you know, that we want to discuss with you
yeah,
today.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah. Well, where shall we begin?
Where shall we begin?
So many topics.
I guess first I want to know, I mean, you're doing something that has been like a low-key dream of mine. I like love jewelry so much. I love fine jewelry so much. And I've always wanted to know what it's like to like, how do you start a line like that in a market that is also so saturated? Like, how did you do that?
Yeah. I mean, when I started in 2009, it was less saturated. It was in 2009, no one was shopping online for like anything, let alone fine jewelry.
And really? No, do you think that?
Yeah. I mean, I started my line, I don't know. I feel it was like the same week that Lehman Brothers collapsed. So it was like a really great time to start a fine luxury product company.
This was like before Instagram.
Oh, 100% before Instagram.
Yeah. So not a lot of people were discovering products on the internet.
No.
Or through social.
And there was no way, like Shopify didn't exist. So like I wanted to start my line. I think I had like a Yahoo e-commerce template website, which now does not exist because it is Buster. But back then it was like all about like a bib necklace and like man repeller and her arm party and like these big, bold statement pieces of jewelry. And so like I came in and I wanted to do something different. And so I wanted to do like dainty little fine jewelry that you could wear every day and personalize with important moments in your life. And now it is super saturated and a lot of people are doing that. And that's okay. There's enough to go around for everybody. But back then it was less intimidating, I think, because that wasn't there weren't so many players in the field.
Yeah.
Right.
And you started your business while you were working somewhere else.
I was. I did not have the luxury. I had to pay rent. So I couldn't just be like, fuck it, here I go. I'm going to start a business and not have income for a long time. I had to have money coming in. When I started, I was working in PR. I was doing really awesome, important work called celebrity gifting houses. So like I would go to the Sundance Film Festival and rent out a house for like Justin Timberlake's Alpha Dogs movie premiere and have like the dinner and like the gifting house that went along with. I mean, it was awful. But I learned a lot about event production. I learned a lot about pitching. Like I can cold call anybody and I am like I'll cold call the buyer from Barney's. Like that does not intimidate me. Because I'm like so used to knowing how to pitch and like craft a story that tells the story that the person wants to hear and like just presenting it to them on a platter, which has come in handy when you're trying to start a business. I was working in PR and I did that. And when I decided I wanted to start a jewelry business, I went back to school and I learned all the mechanics of jewelry production, how to solder, set stones, fabricating, wax carving, stone setting, all of that. But then I didn't even know, okay, so now I know how to make things, but how do I run an actual business?
So you were in school while you were working in PR.
I quit PR.
Okay.
I went to like a 3-month intensive program at a school in San Francisco that doesn't exist anymore. It was called the Revere Academy. Super sad it's not there. But so it was like a 3-month, 9-to-5, 5 days a week intensive program.
Okay.
But then I like came back to LA and I was like, okay, now I have an idea that I want to do, but I don't know how to run a business. So I sent, because I was comfortable in PR, I sent my resume out to every LA jewelry designer I could think of. And I literally was like flipping through InStyle and Lucky Magazine and like searching Daily Candy for LA jewelry designers. And I sent them all my resume saying I want to start my own line, but I don't know how to do that. And one of the designers that got back to me was a woman named Maya Brenner. And I worked for her for 6 years doing every aspect of her business. So I, for better or worse, learned how she did things. And then I could say, oh, that's genius how you're doing that. Oh, that's super inefficient how you're doing that. I like this and I like this and I like this and I don't like how you're doing this. So when I do it my own thing, I'm going to tweak it. And because I had a PR background, I like knew how to get stuff on celebrities or get magazines to write about it. And that was back when that made a difference. Like now it's totally, like again, so Instagram social, didn't exist. Yeah. Like social did not even exist as a platform or as a revenue stream. So like Daily Candy wrote about me and it would like blew up my business. And like, again, Daily Candy doesn't even exist anymore. So I started online back when like it wasn't cool to be a digitally native brand or direct to consumer. Yeah, like it was only because I was poor and I couldn't afford to go to Las Vegas or New York and do trade shows to try to court some of those like bigger marquee wholesale accounts. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't afford to do that. So I was like, okay, I'm going to have my Yahoo e-commerce website and I can't afford a photographer. So I'm going to take the product shots on my dining room table, holding a piece of white paper to bounce light off of the jewelry. And I don't know Photoshop. So I'm going to go to SMC and take a class and like teach myself Photoshop. And I just kind of pieced it together and got press and slowly it became a real thing. And then every year, my first few years, I like doubled or tripled the sales I did the year before. And here I am now.
Wow.
Almost starting my 10th year.
I think it's really important what you said, that you spent 6 years like working for a jewelry designer before you launched your own. Because I think with Instagram, you know, there is, and with like social media, there is this like false sense of people just being able to like make a huge brand, like out of thin air. And to be like, you know, we have like Kylie Jenner, who's going to be the youngest self-made billionaire. You know what I mean? But, and people think like, oh, I'm 20 years old. I should be able to run this like super successful company. Like what's wrong with me that I can't? I think there's such a pressure on so many people to like, you know, like have a really good idea, but then like not really know how to execute. And I think that there's so much to be said for like taking the time to work in the business you're interested in and learn and grow from somebody
totally,
else.
You know, totally. And then it's like, I was an English major in college. So it's like, what do you do as an English major? Yeah. I mean, I can write you a great essay. But like, you know, I didn't have a degree that like very applicably, I was like, I could be a teacher. I could go into PR. I could be a writer, but like, I didn't really want to do any of those things. Mm-hmm. And for me, I kind of knew that I wanted to start my own business when I was doing one of these gifting houses and I was making like $32,000 a year and I was working like 15-hour days and I was 24 or something. And I was like, I want to have kids one day.
Yeah.
And I want to have flexibility to like be in their lives and take them to a doctor or take them to a park or, you know, be an active mother. But I also want, I know that I'm really scrappy and it's not so much that I'm smart. I just feel like if I don't know how to do something, I'm going to teach myself how to do it. Yeah. Or I will figure out a way to get it done. I'm like, and I think that that's like the most important thing about being an entrepreneur, whatever it is, whether you have a product or a podcast or whatever, is like, you just have, like, there is no one there telling you and showing you a path. Mm-hmm. You just have to chart your own path and be your own motivator to be like setting goals and working your way towards them and holding yourself accountable.
And there's so many resources to help you along the way. Like even now more than when you started, it's
so
like
many now.
You can take all of these classes online.
Yeah.
You can learn Photoshop. You can learn anything on the internet. There's so many articles about all of this, about building your own business. Read them all and
absolutely
get all of that knowledge and that will really excel your business.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, whether it's like your business or not, like your business model or not, just knowing how other people have done it informs your decisions.
Definitely.
I guess it's just like, you know, for so many people that like you, like are moms and like need to make money for their children. And like for single moms that don't necessarily have the support of a partner, it does seem like such a daunting thing to like even try to attempt to start your own business. You know what
I
mean?
It is daunting. Yeah. It's for sure daunting, no matter if you're 22 or 32 or it's daunting, but at some point you like step off the ledge and
just go for it.
Just go for it. But I paced myself by working for someone for 6 years. I grew to the business to a point where it had enough momentum that and enough income coming in that I could afford to quit my other job.
Yeah.
So like I did step off the ledge, but I like had my parachute with me.
You were prepared.
Yeah.
I mean, you did. It was informed. Took all of the steps to get to that place where you knew that you could
totally,
you know, pay your rent, also build your
totally.
Like float yourself. I also think that that's another like false advertisement that happens with these young entrepreneurs on the internet where it seems like they're just able to, you know, do these things and be fully financially like set from them complete, like right when it starts.
Right. Or
and
like just get investors from day one to like foot the bill.
Well, it's even the same thing about when you, you know, right when you graduate from college, you're like, I want my dream job, but you have to work to get there. And I think a lot of people forget that sometimes your first job is pretty much like grad school. Like my first job was working at CAA in music. And that was literally, I worked there for 4 years and I really felt like that was grad school for me in the industry that I wanted to be in.
Totally, totally. Yeah.
So I feel like a lot of people also want to get there, especially like our generation wants to be there a lot quicker, but there is so much you can learn. And, you know, by doing that and starting somewhere where you are learning, like you can excel quicker.
Right. And it makes it so that you're going to be more successful. You're setting yourself up to be more successful if you give yourself the space.
It is so discouraging when like the stories that we like glamorize are like so-and-so like had no money and like in 1 week created like the next greatest like sponge. I don't know. You know what I mean? And it's always these stories of like these like as a writer, like me, like I'm a writer and I write like words, scripts and whatever. Like you always hear like, you know, like Paul Thomas Anderson wrote like Punch Drunk Love in like 2 days on a speedball. You know what I mean? And when you hear those things, it's like, oh fuck. Like what's wrong with me that I can't just like whip up an incredible
I think at some point you just have to put your head down and stay in your lane and not really care what's going, like, I mean, like, sure, there's always going to be anomalies like that.
Yeah, even Lena Dunham, I think she wrote Tiny Furniture in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, and, like, she was like 19 or something.
Yeah, there's like, always going to be things like that. And I think you just have to like keep going and not get distracted by outside like voices.
Totally. I just like, you know, I just think that for so many people, like myself included, sometimes I'll get really in my head about that shit.
Yeah. I feel like that comparison game is a losing game. You're just like setting yourself up to feel shitty.
I mean, that's all comparison. We've talked about this like a few episodes ago. Like, comparison will strip the joy out of like anything immediately.
Yeah,
totally. And then even when you do have like some major accomplishment, you're not even taking the moment to like absorb it and realize it, because you're just comparing yourself to someone else who's for whatever reason one step ahead of you.
Yeah.
And so then you're not even reveling in what you've already accomplished.
Even like in my Soul Cycle classes that I take, because I'm obsessed with Soul Cycle, like my teacher is always like, don't look at the person next to you. Don't try to do what the person next to you is doing. Just try to do like the best that you can do, because like everyone's body is different. Everyone's like had a different day, a different experience. Like, just focus on being like the best that you can be, which is like obviously a lame sentence to say, but
it's true.
Message transfers over to work, to everything. It's like literally just be your best self.
Well, and I think if you always keep it in the context of like, everything is always a work in progress. It's not like all of a sudden you're like, look at me, I've arrived. I've got this $5 million business and this, all these markers of success. It's not like, even when you're at that point, you're always like forward thinking. So like, everything is always an evolution. And so if you're always just like peering over the fence, looking at where other people are in their journey, it's like, you're not honoring your journey as LA as that sounds.
When did you get to the point with your business where you thought to yourself, I'm successful? Like, what was that moment for you?
There was a moment where I had an office. Like, I wasn't making the jewelry with my two hands in my Santa Monica apartment. I had an office, and I was at the grocery store on Wilshire and Euclid, where I used to live, getting groceries, and I was at the checkout aisle, and there was like a, I think it was like an InStyle, an L, and maybe like a Marie Claire or a Lucky, and I was on the cover of one and had like huge spreads in the other two, and like that felt like a real, I was like, I'm in print. I'm a big deal, guys.
Yeah.
Does anybody see this?
You're like, does anyone see the jewels that these people are wearing?
Like, not just my mom, like other people are seeing this like in the world.
I love that.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, that's like a huge feeling to just like get any recognition like that.
I will say though, print, like if I were starting my business now, like print does not drive sales and revenue the way that it used to.
Yeah.
So like it's like a totally different game.
Everything is influencer, social, you know, growth hacking.
What's growth hacking?
I don't know. Yeah, you just said a word I don't know.
I won't bore you guys.
Is growth hacking about like, so
does that make
growth?
Me taller than 5'2"?
It might. It makes you taller. You know, if you drink enough LaCroix.
All right. I'm on my way then.
Drinking right now. But
so wait, when did you decide that now you have your business, and then when were you like, okay, I'm ready to have kids? Or was this happening all at the same time?
No, I like gave myself a goal, like I just wanted the business to, I knew that when I had kids, I wanted to take some time to be with them, which like is totally unrealistic. When it's your own business, you don't get a maternity leave. But I wanted the business to be a little bit self-sustaining. So I set some goals for myself, and you know, it took me a couple of years to get there, but I like the business was making enough money. I had enough like regular repeat customers coming back that, and like, I felt like the collection had enough breadth and styles, merchandising next to each other. And so I had my son in 2014.
What did you name him?
His name is Luca, and then
I love that
so he's
name.
3.5, and then I've got a 1-year-old baby girl named Mia.
So cute.
That's so cute.
Our listeners like write in about time management, mm-hmm. and obviously having two kids, running your own business.
Mm-hmm. And now I don't even live in LA where my office is and all my production is. I live in the Bay Area now, which like throws another lovely wrench in
the works. So traveling
is,
Wow.
Yeah.
So how, like, what would be, I guess, some of your tips on how you are able to, you know, manage that?
There's lots of great apps out there that I use internally. I use Slack in my office to, like, communicate with my team.
I'm obsessed with Slack.
It's really great. It's basically, like, for people who don't know what Slack is, it's like text messaging and emailing combined. And you can, like, make different channels. So we have, like, I don't know, 30 or 40 different channels. So, like, we used to have these gnarly group text messages, like, with the girls in my office going back and forth. And then things would get buried and you would forget and you'd have to scroll back up. And it was really annoying.
Yeah.
So we use Slack. And we also didn't want to, like, bombard our inboxes with, like, just chit chat back and forth.
It's like a text bot. So, like, you could just message people, but you can have groups. You can, you know, message two people. You can message five people, then you can have different conversations, like, maybe about, like, fall or,
and it's,
like,
archivable.
Yeah, that sort of thing. And then all of the attachments and everything are saved.
It stays there. Archives
it's like a very great tool that a lot of businesses use.
Yeah, so I use Slack. I'm getting everything on Airtable right now to, like, manage, like, design work and, like, production schedules and stuff like that. So Airtable's really helpful.
Yeah, there are so many.
I've used Airtable, I've used Basecamp, I've used Teamwork, and I like Airtable best of that.
There's so many, like, third party apps that you can use that really make running a business now so much easier, because you can kind of outsource all of that.
Yeah,
instead of having that internal.
It can be complicated to try to link them all together. I'm in the process of doing that right now. I just, like, updated a bunch of, like, internal software, which is mind-numbing, and I won't bore you with those details. But I have the Shopify app on my phone, which makes a ka-ching noise every time I get a web order, which my husband thinks is obnoxious. And he's like, can you please turn that off? And I was like,
I mean, I would keep those.
I was like, fuck no, I am not turning that off. Ka-ching.
You're like, this is, like, this keeps me motivated.
Totally.
I love that.
Yeah, you're
that.
Like, I work so hard to hear that noise.
To hear the ka-ching.
Oh my gosh.
It's like when you were younger and you sat at your computer on AIM waiting to hear the door creak open for someone to get online.
Oh my gosh, AIM.
Remember that? I had, like, all of my crushes set on alerts so that I could hear that.
I loved AIM.
Oh, I feel like you could do, like, a whole show of, like, everyone's, like, original instant messenger, like, handles.
I know. My away messages were always, like, quotes.
I used to have this inspirational
quote page that I would read all of the time. And it was always, like, that with, like, the star. And then, like, the letters were always, like, lowercase and uppercase mixed in, like, pink.
Oh.
I mean, if you're not doing lowercase, uppercase, you're
I feel like that's
internet.
Like heavy in the, like, my so-called life zine days.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Very. I was so emo.
I mean, my profile on AIM was just Amber is the color of your energy. My favorite 311 song.
Amazing. I love that.
It's a moment in time. You just dated yourself.
Exactly. Okay, let's take a little break to hear from our sponsors. And then when we are back, we will answer all of your burning hot questions about business
and motherhood
and motherhood
being married because
and relationships. Yeah. So we'll just answer all of your questions.
We'll be here.
In general.
Lady Lovin' is brought to you by Away. First class luggage at a coach price. I love all of my Away bags. I have the carry-on size and I have the huge size, the large, it's called. It's just, they're the best. I love them so much. They're super high quality materials and they're so much lower priced compared to other brands because they cut out the middleman and they sell directly to you. All suitcases are made with premium German polycarbonate, unrivaled in strength and impact resistant. And also they're super duper lightweight. The interior features a patent pending compression system, helpful for overpackers like myself, and they have four 360 degree spinner wheels, so it's so easy to schlep all of your stuff through the airport. It's amazing. Also, there's a TSA approved combination lock, so no one will, you know, go through your bag and steal your stuff, which is great. There's also a laundry bag. It basically, Away just has everything for you. But what I love most about Away is that there is a lifetime warranty. So if anything breaks, they'll fix it or replace it for life. You also get a 100-day trial. So you can live with it, travel with it, you know, Instagram it. If at any point you decide it's not for you, you get to return it for a full refund, no questions asked. There's also free shipping in
48 states. So that's just amazing. So here's the deal. For $20 off of a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/lovin, L-O-V-I-N, all lowercase. That's awaytravel.com/lovin, L-O-V-I-N, and use the promo code LOVIN, L-O-V-I-N, for $20 off a suitcase. That's awaytravel.com/lovin, L-O-V-I-N, all lowercase, with promo code LOVIN during checkout. Lady Lovin' is brought to you by HelloFresh. HelloFresh is our favorite meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, and delivers step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients so you can just cook, eat, and enjoy. It's truly so easy. What I love about HelloFresh is that there's a selection. There's something for everyone. You have three plans to choose from, classic, veggie, and family, and each box is made up of fresh, responsibly obtained ingredients from carefully selected farms and high-rated, trusted sources. You also get to rediscover the excitement of cooking, because we all love to cook and we just don't have the time. So you can look forward to your HelloFresh delivery knowing dinner just got that much easier. Also, you can feel confident because everything is simple and outlined and step by step, so you won't mess it up. It's truly great. It's also just so simple and convenient. You won't spend all night in the kitchen because recipes only take around 30 minutes. They're delivered right to your door in a recyclable insulated packaging, which is awesome. And it's just so easy and great and seamless, and it's perfect. So you can spend less time meal planning and grocery shopping each week and get that time back to do more of what you love, like listening to our podcast. So for $60 off, you can go to HelloFresh.com/lovin60 and enter lovin60. That's $60 off. That's $20 off your first three boxes by visiting HelloFresh.com/lovin60 and enter the code lovin60. It's like receiving six meals for free or up to 50% off of three boxes. It's truly amazing.
And we're back.
Yes.
What a great note from the sponsor. We love our sponsors.
We love them. Thank you for sponsoring us and making our podcast possible.
I know. Okay, let's get to the questions. Greta, do you want to go for it?
I do.
Okay. We got a lot of real juicy questions.
I'll see what I can do.
This one is a really long... excuse me, sorry. This one's a very long email, but... I'm going to do my best to summarize it because I just simply, we don't have time to read this whole email. But, okay, here's our first question. Career advice and accepting anxiety. Our listener is writing to us from South Africa. How cool is that?
Hiya.
Hello, down there. Or up there, or wherever okay. There is.
So here are some of our listeners' questions. Okay. How can you stop yourself from thinking of everyone else before you because you're a people pleaser and are constantly wanting to feel accepted? She wrote this email very interestingly. So let's talk about this question, because I think, how can you stop yourself from thinking of everyone else before yourself? What does this mean? How can you stop yourself from thinking of everyone else before yourself because you're a people pleaser? Okay.
How do you prioritize yourself?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard. I have to say, on my list of priorities, it's like my kids, my husband, my work, my friends. Like, you'll notice that I'm not even mentioning myself in there anywhere.
Yeah.
It is hard to prioritize yourself because there's only so many hours in the day and there's not enough of them.
She said because you are a people pleaser. I think she's calling herself a bit of a people pleaser.
Right.
And wanting to feel accepted.
Well, so that you have to get over.
I think you have to realize not everyone is going to always be happy with you, and that's okay.
Right. And people are usually more than happy to take advantage of you if you let them. So yeah. Like, at some point you just have to like chart your course and let people fall in line.
I also feel like people tend to put a lot of what they're dealing with on other people, and then you can sort of react to how they're reacting and kind of want to like please them. Or just fall into like that trap. So I think you have to like separate yourself from a lot of, or just like realize when someone's doing that, because I think that, you know, can happen if you have these sorts of tendencies?
This listener that is writing us in these questions that are actually like pretty profound. She's 23. So I just want to say that like my 23-year-old self definitely felt like that people pleasing pressure. And like, I felt like I constantly spread myself too thin. Like I was constantly doing a bunch of shit that I didn't really want to do that ultimately like wasn't really making me feel good because I was just not doing it for myself. And we don't like to be like ageist and whatnot, but I do think that like that is something that the more you grow, you'll find you do it less and less.
Yeah, I mean, like you figure out what's important to you and that's what you focus on.
Yeah, and I think you kind of like blossom and get more sense of self and like self-identity as you get older. And
exactly.
It's hard to have that and like have your feet firmly rooted when you're 23. I didn't have my feet firmly rooted when I was 23.
No, oh God, not at all. So. When I was 23 years old, I was working production and photography on cruise ships. I mean,
oh my God, that's amazing.
Give me a break.
I feel like that's a Christopher Guest movie.
it basically is. Okay, so I guess our collective answer is that, you know, the more you grow, the more you'll figure out what's important to you. And just, yeah, like people will take advantage of you if you let them and just don't, you know, be conscious of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The next question she has is advice on figuring out what to do career-wise when you have always known what you have wanted to do, but you get offered a job in a higher paying career that is completely different from what I have spent 4 years studying. My family has been supportive of what I decided to study, but now all I feel like I should do is go into the other career, and I'm not sure if it is going to be beneficial to make me happy. Am I being naive in thinking that I should choose to do a job that makes me happy rather than a job that is lucrative?
What a tough cue, because I have this issue my whole entire life. And you know what? Sometimes I'll take a job because it's lucrative. And then what's always in the back of my mind? What I want to do. And it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger until finally you end up quitting and just doing what you want to do. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's like if there's something that you want to do and you have a strong passion towards something, I think you really need to do it and just figure out how to make yourself successful doing that.
Yeah. I mean, I had to build a little bit of a financial net for myself so that I could do what I wanted to do. I was not ready to just like plunge into it.
Yeah.
So
I think that
very responsible.
Yeah. And I think that like, again, I think that like if taking this lucrative job will completely derail you from what you actually want to do, I don't know. I feel like there's a way to
like take the job for a little bit, save up some money, and then quit, and then do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing. It's never too late. Like, it's never too late to reinvent yourself and start over again, especially when you're 23. But in life in general, my mom always told me that shit. You know, she was like 50 and she was like, I can do whatever the fuck I want to do.
I just always feel like if you're doing something and you just don't want to be doing it, though, and the other thing that you actually want to be doing, it just really takes so much out of you. And if there's a way that you can try to do both at the same time, yes. Or if you're saving up money, yes. But like if you can actually make money doing the other thing and you want to try that, you have to, or else it literally just comes back at you. And then you just wake up every morning and then you finally end up doing it and you could have started it earlier.
Right.
So I also just feel like there's a little bit of that too. But yeah, be responsible. I was not responsible for when I first moved to New York, I was a DJ. And
I think it's like be responsible, but also be irresponsible at the same time, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Well, I was saying when I first moved to New York, I was DJing and I had like one DJ gig lined up at the Box every week. And I like had no money. And so I was just like, okay, I need to figure out how to get more DJ gigs, how to do this.
It does force you to be a little bit scrappier. Does,
yeah, you do have to be.
When you're like up against the wall.
Exactly. So,
okay.
Yeah, I think those are our answers for that one.
We're getting to her last question because she really loaded us up with three. But this one I think is very good and important because this one I feel like we get a lot of questions like this. So I think this will be good. Okay. Any tips, tricks for anxiety and depression and how to come to terms with it and asking for help? I'm constantly being told that I am bubbly, kind, confident, and positive, but I don't feel like I don't feel like I should be feeling these feelings because it's not me. She says, does this make sense? And I think yes. when you're surrounded by people that are telling you you're so bubbly and great and amazing and smart and fun, you know, but inside you're struggling, that's very normal. It's very normal to like
project
something.
There's two sides to every coin. I mean, you can be both simultaneously, yeah. I think. Like everybody's complex and dynamic, and you can travel in both spheres, and that can be emotionally and mentally confusing when you're like, I'm feeling these like anxious, depressed, nervous thoughts, but I'm also like socially really ebullient. Like you can be both simultaneously, and that's hard and probably exhausting emotionally. Yeah. Honestly, I would talk to someone.
Yeah, I would say like what she says about asking for help. I mean, that's the thing that you can do. You right. know what I mean? That's how you
There's
fix
so
the
many
situation
people.
Is you do ask for help. Like, you know, even like the lowest points I've ever been in, it's like I always have asked for help because that's the way to get out of it, you yeah. know? And so it's like she should ask a friend, hey, can you, I recently did this. I, you know, really needed to find a therapist, and I messaged a friend and said, hey, I'm struggling. Can you please help me find a therapist? Like I didn't even know where to begin on that search. And my friend helped me out. And like, if you, you know, have someone that you feel comfortable talking to about that, they will help you even get there to asking.
And I think therapy can be so amazing because yes, it helps you unpack things and work through things, but life is so busy and hectic and we're on such a gnarly pace that like if you're at least having a dedicated hour once or twice a month where you're talking about things, mm-hmm. it does make you process things more proficiently because you're dedicating headspace to it in the midst of the noise of the rest of the life that's going on around you.
Yeah.
And I think that's how you start working through and unpacking those emotions and like really figuring out
yeah.
what's at the root of things.
Definitely. I also just want this listener to know that like I really identify with her when, you know, you have people being like, you're so bubbly and cheery and confident. Like I've definitely, I still struggle with that. You know, like my boyfriend will be like, you're so confident and amazing. How do you feel this way? And it's like, these are feelings and everyone has them. And, you know, going to therapy for me, especially since I've been living in LA, has like changed my life. And I think that you just reaching out to us and asking how to go about that is like a huge step.
Yeah,
and
totally.
You should like be proud of yourself for asking that. And if you feel like it's something that you want to do, you should 1000% do it. Like nothing bad will come of it.
Yeah.
And no one like, and also you don't need to tell your friends. You don't need to tell your family. It can just be something for yourself. And that's why I really like therapy. Because
and if you don't jive with the person at first, like go for someone else. Like
yeah.
the
yeah.
right person is out there that will actually like feel like that you're connecting with properly.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Fabulous. We really dissected that. That felt very
that's
efficient.
Heavy question.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're like,
life's this fucking is a, heavy.
You're a good person for this because you're like a badass entrepreneur.
I know.
And, you know, this is important shit. Okay, this question, our next question I really fuck with a lot because I think it's really fucked up and I'm interested to hear your guys' thoughts.
Well, I'm excited for this question if I think I know what you're asking about that Ariel's here.
Is it the why do I seek validation from my boyfriend's family?
Yes.
Is that the one?
Yeah, yes. I just feel like she's going to give some really great... Mm.
Okay.
Advice here.
This one, I think, I don't know. I think this is a really fascinating thing. I'm going to read pretty much the whole thing, so bear with me. Okay. Why do I seek validation from my boyfriend's family? My boyfriend and I purchased a house together a year ago. I have my degree in biochemistry and have a very well-paying job with great benefits in chemical sales. He went to trade school and also has a good job that he is greatly talented at and is a and has promise at. However, due to the state of the business, just being him and his boss, and it's in the process of growing, he doesn't get as great of pay as he should. So here's what I've been dealing with. He gets most of the fiscal compliments by his family. He's praised by them for, quotes, his house, and he's able to upkeep everything and more. Here are a few examples of what I mean. One, before we moved in, I bought a second horse to keep mine company at the new home, and I said it was, quote, his. His family then told everyone he bought the horse and paid for his vet bills that were over $3,000. Two, I recently purchased a new car. an Audi, which I was so excited about because it was my dream car since I was 5. His family asked him how he likes his new car, but it's mine. I bought it. And 3, they refer to our house as his house when we literally each pay half of the mortgage and it's both in our names.
Mm-hmm. I have one question. Or are you done?
Basically the ending is, so my question is, how can I address this? Or do I just ignore it? I pride myself in having a great job I worked hard for and that I continue to work hard at each day and make enough money to pay our bills. I pay for all of the groceries, internet, horses, dog vet bills, electrical, etc., because I can afford it. But I feel like since I'm the woman, that is all ignored and credit given to him when it's really what I'm most proud about. Not if I keep the fucking house clean. Go off, girl. And it's not that I'm not proud of him. He works really fucking hard. Do I just suck it up and know deep down that I don't need their validation? It's just hard because I pride myself on being able to take care of myself and not be a freeloader. You three are hardworking, successful women. So if you have any advice, I'd appreciate it.
So first off, before we dissect this, I just want to say, great job, girl. Yeah. I'm so impressed and proud of you.
You are such a badass.
You are a badass. You are an inspiration. You should be on this podcast talking about your career and your
100%.
Life. 100%. Congratulations for all your success. And how awesome is that, that you can buy whatever you want. You have an amazing career. You have horses that you love. You have, you have it. So good for you. Now we can dissect.
My thought is, where's your fucking man in all of this?
Yes.
Where is he standing up to his parents and being like, don't get it twisted. My girl is right here with me and she's carrying the load.
Yeah.
Like, I think that is the sign of a true
man.
Man.
Yeah. Why can't he be like, actually, she bought this horse.
Right.
Actually, she bought this car.
I'm sure that there's a part of him that probably feels emasculated.
Well, that's fucked up. I don't have a problem with his family, honestly. Like, his family can go fuck themselves. Like, at the end of the day, you're with the man, not the family. Like, yes, like, there is a part of that that
is annoying.
Is annoying, sure. But, like, he should be there holding your hand, standing as a united front with you, saying, actually, mom and dad, like, this is our house and this is her car and this is our horse. And this is the life that we are building together. And like, I'm so proud of her because like, look at what she's been able to accomplish and contribute.
Look what she's been able to do so I can build my dream.
Totally.
As well. And I would do the same thing for her.
Totally.
That's I was just about to say, that's what's pissing me off the most is that like, he's also chasing his dream. It's not like he's working.
And she's supporting him through that.
Exactly. It's like he needs to grow a fucking backbone. And what pisses me off, like beyond anything, is the car. Because like, you know, when you get an animal, you're like, oh, babe, it's like your horse or like your dog. It's like when you buy a kid a dog and you tell them it's their dog, even though you're the one taking care of it.
Yeah.
And like with the car, it's like,
that's not a living thing.
Like, fuck off.
No, that's her dream car. And like, he should not be taking the credit.
Yeah. It's definitely like, what's his issue? And again, if he doesn't feel like he can say those things and he feels emasculated or he feels insecure, then he's not the right man for you, because it's not like you're going to stop making money, stop living your life, stop building your career, stop being successful. You're going to keep going and you want someone that's going to be able to keep up with that. And it's like,
and support you the way that you're supporting him emotionally and financially.
Yes. And if he's uncomfortable with that, then that's a issue.
Well, I don't know if it's that he's not the right man for you. Clearly you guys seem to have like a good relationship outside of this, if you're like buying a house together and doing all of this shit. But I do think that like, you need to have a very clear conversation with him where you need to say to him, like, I work so fucking hard for all this shit, and this might be petty to you, but I need you to know that this is
how... I don't think it's petty at all. I think, like, kids, money, sex, like, those are the things that, like, a marriage revolve around.
Totally. So, I mean, like, I don't think it's petty at all either, but I'm saying, like, if he thinks that what she's about to say, like, I think that if she's going to this conversation, she can say to him, like, this may seem petty to you, but this is a huge deal to me, and if you can't see that... then we have a really big issue.
Well, and it's like he's invalidating her accomplishments by not acknowledging it to himself and to his family, which is really the shittiest thing of it all.
And there's no...
And also, get a spine with your family.
there's also like no issue if she makes more money than him, like, and whatever. It's just the way that he's handling it. You know what I mean? And I just want to also make that clear. Like, it doesn't matter who makes more money, but like, he needs to handle it like a man. And he needs to stick up.
And
for
he might
you
have his own dynamic
his
with his. Yeah, he might have his own dynamic with his family, and maybe for whatever reason he doesn't feel comfortable standing up to them. But privately with her, it should be a united front, and yeah. they should be working towards a way together to broach it with his family.
Yeah.
So oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I think that's the like what we should end on is the fact that like you should have a conversation with him. You guys need to approach this together and move forward together and figure out how to deal with that together. And he should be able to say this is her car that she bought, and he should say that proudly. Like, he should give a toast at the table and say, hey, I'm so proud of my girlfriend for purchasing her dream car.
Totally.
Like,
I mean, that makes
again,
me like horny
I'm not
for her.
I've never you know, bought a house with someone and or
a horse,
a horse. But I hope that if I was in your situation, I would, you know, have a man that would do that. But yeah, I mean, it's
I think it's more about the man than the family.
It's
at this,
tricky
at this point.
Yeah, this is tricky. But girl, we're so you're killing
yeah.
it. So good for you.
And you got your shit together. Well,
don't
done.
Ever feel bad about your accomplishments either. Don't ever feel bad.
Okay, do we have time for one more question?
Yeah, I think we do. This was another interesting one that I was excited about, too, because you're married and not, the
married.
Three of us are not married. And this is an interesting
I've
question.
I've also been with my husband since I was in college. So, like, I have, like, again, we were together before, like, any dating apps. Or,
yeah.
Like, so it was, like, a very different environment.
Yeah, and this question is about future marriage. So, you know.
Are you guys ready?
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, the subject is infidelity clause prenup.
Ooh.
I'm engaged in getting married in December. I should preface by saying that I come from a family of divorce. My parents were married for 29 years, and my dad left my mom and came out as a gay man. I am very disappointed in how my dad handled
the
situation.
Honestly.
I'm very disappointed in how my dad handled the situation. They live in a no-fault state, and my dad was very petty about splitting up assets. Small example. We had two matching couches in the family room, and he took one to give her the other. I mean, okay. In my opinion, after 29 years, you should give the person whatever it is they want. So understandably, I have some trust issues. On to my current situation. I met my husband a couple years before we started dating. We both liked each other, but it was more of a crush. They didn't know each other very well, and the timing wasn't right. A year before we started dating, he was in a new relationship that was long distance. At a mutual friend's birthday, they hooked up. And a month later at a mutual friend's, we kissed, they had officially dating, but not serious. So basically it sounds like, she was kind of the other person.
She was the other lady. And then it's now blossomed from there.
Yeah. He is super supportive, completely supporting me while I work on building my own business, and has never done anything for me to question him. But you know what they say, once a cheater, always a cheater. The other night, I asked him what he thought about having a prenup with an infidelity clause. Needless to say, he did not love the idea. He said he was super insulted that I even suggested it and said that I was insecure and have issues because of my family situation. In an ideal world, he would have been more supportive, and because of his actions in the past and my history, understood where I was coming from. I'm not trying to get all of his money by any means, but we are living in a no-fault state. I don't feel like I can talk to my friends or family about this, but would really appreciate your perspective. Am I crazy for suggesting this? How should I handle this?
Well, there's two issues, or two not issues, but two things that concern me. One of them is that you seem like a little bit scared that he might cheat on you in the future. And that's a little bit like...
That's a bigger thing that you should figure out your comfort level before you proceed, I would say.
Yeah, I would say that that's like a, you know, if that's something in your mind, like that is something that you need to figure out with yourself. Like, do I want to marry someone that I potentially might, if you think he potentially might cheat on you?
Even if you have a prenup, like, divorce is still really messy.
Yes.
Like, it's not like that's going to just make it snap your fingers and everything's okay.
Yeah. And then I guess, like, as someone who's never been engaged and or married and had this conversation with someone, personally, I would like to have a prenup with whoever I'm with. But I also, you know, again, haven't been in this situation. So I don't know. I mean, obviously, I imagine having a conversation about wanting a prenup is like a tricky conversation to have with your partner, because you're like, I love you, but also like we need some legal documents. It's interesting, but it is like, I do feel like marriage is a business agreement sometimes, you know, or not, or all the time. I mean, it's like, you're like, okay, we're deciding to raise kids together. We're deciding to do, you know, that we're going to, you know, purchase this home. It's like, it is a lot of business stuff.
I mean, I have been with my husband of almost like 16 years or something. So really long. I was like, we were babies when we got together, and when we got married in our mid 20s, had no money. So like, we didn't even have a conversation about prenups because there was nothing to protect. That being said, I do feel like we live in a modern time where, you know, people are seeing each other, are like spending the night together before the wedding. The woman's helping design the engagement ring. Like, there is not like this like olden days convention that there used to be. And if that gives you peace of mind, he should be sensitive to your family history and understand where your nervous energy is coming from in that context.
Yeah. I also didn't like the way he reacted.
But I don't like the way he reacted, but I more than anything, I don't like your nervousness about his past and like his potential to cheat on you.
Yeah.
That gives me the most concern in all of this. I'm not concerned about you asking for a prenup. Like,
yeah, it's like, if you want a prenup because of your family history and you just, that's, you're more comfortable with that, great. But if you want a prenup because you're afraid he's going to cheat on you, that's like a issue.
Right. I think that there's like, there's emotional reasons why you want a prenup. And I think that he should understand those. And I don't think that that's insulting on its own, but I think you should.
Yeah. And maybe that's did he react that way because of the infidelity clause?
Right.
And she brought that up. Maybe did you talk about like the past?
Well, just like a general prenup. I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know what a general prenup versus an infidelity. Like,
yeah, I'm not sure about that either again, because, you know, I mean, I'm pretty sure. I'm giving you advice from someone who has not been in this situation, but
I'm pretty sure that prenups just are, it's so tailored to whatever the situation is that you're, whoever you're marrying. I totally understand where she's coming from. My parents got divorced after 28 years of marriage because my dad left my mom for another woman. And my dad, you know, was not perfect, to say the least, during their marriage. And if you are a Lady Lovin' listener, you've definitely heard me talk about this. But something that I've tried to do in my relationship is realize, like, I'm not dating my dad. You know, and like, I need to trust the person that I'm with, and and carrying the paranoia of like my parents' own relationship into my own will only make me miserable.
I think that's great advice.
Yeah, that is.
That's really good advice.
Yeah. And like, you know, I am in a relationship with someone now. Like, I fully would love to spend the rest of my life with him. Like, am I delusional in thinking that it's going to be like the easiest thing in the world? No, but like, I cannot have a lingering fear of mistrust with him. Yeah. Otherwise, the whole relationship is just terrible.
Well, and so, I think that's how you like recapitulate the mistakes that your parents made.
Yeah.
Like, you have to consciously, eyes wide open, go into things and be like, God, that was so fucked up what I lived through. I'm going to consciously work to evolve away from that. And I think emotionally away from that. And I think that that's.
And I just think like, you're not dating your dad.
Right.
And like, you're doing yourself a disservice by carrying your parents' baggage into your own.
Totally.
Because it's like, that's not your relationship. And that's that. Look, like, how he reacted wasn't great. But at the same time, like, you know, if my boyfriend were to come to me being like, hey, I want to get a prenup, like out of the blue, came up to me and was like, hey, I want a prenup with an infidelity clause in case you cheat on me. I'd feel a little hurt by that. I would be
really? How would she feel?
The infidelity part, yes. I mean, I think the prenup part, I don't feel like anyone should be offended about someone wanting a general prenup, because here's the thing, like, shit could hit the fan and then you know.
Totally.
You know, it's like, it's better to figure that stuff out, I think, when you're happy than when you hate each other.
And I think like we were just saying, you know, marriage is so different and more modern now. It's very common to have a prenup, you know. It's like not something that's so offensive. It's like, seen as a business agreement and a way to protect yourself. But like, if the conversation was purely spawned on just wanting a prenup in case of infidelity,
yeah,
that's pretty hurtful, you know? Like,
yeah, I agree.
And I would think if I were him, I would be like, yeah, like what we're saying, like if you want to get a prenup just because you think I'm going to cheat on you, why are you marrying me?
Yeah.
And yeah, like, and look, I think that it's definitely a conversation, and I totally understand being like very scarred from seeing your parents' marriage go to shit. I mean, trust me, I lived in a house for 18 years where my parents literally hated each other, but like, I have to remind myself too, in my relationship, I am not my parents. I am not my dad. I am not my mom. I can be in a healthy, happy relationship. And like, it's just reminding yourself that every single day. And like, I don't know if you go to a therapist, but I held a lot of resentment toward my dad for a very long time. And then it just ended up sucking me dry of so much energy that I could have spent doing other things with. That therapy has really helped me like sort out those feelings and honestly be in a way more successful relationship than I've ever been in my life.
Get so, it, Greta.
Yeah.
Well, I know that do feeling of like, yeah. I just know that feeling of having a dad that treated your mom really shitty. And
yeah,
trust me, girl, we were in a no fault state too. And my mom, you know, like really the divorce between my parents was not pretty, needless to say. Lasted for years and was not a great time. So, like, I don't want to get a divorce. Are you kidding me? That sounds fucking terrible. But like we said in the beginning, any divorce, no matter what happens, is shit. Yeah. No one wants to get a divorce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With kids?
Huh. Yeah.
I'm sure it's worse.
Well, you guys, this has been such a passion-driven episode.
I feel like we're all very passionate today.
This is so fun. Can we answer more questions?
I know, right? It's the best. I mean, well, we do have one last question for you.
Oh, okay.
Every episode, we ask our guest, or Greta Lowe and I share our Lady Lovin' of the Week, which is someone that we admire. And it could be like anyone you're related to. It could be someone that's alive, passed away. It could be Oprah, Beyonce, you know, your favorite author.
It could be Tinkerbell.
It could be your daughter.
It could be anyone.
Yeah. Anyone, any lady that you love that you think is just the shit.
Not to be too sappy or sad, but I would probably say my mom.
We love a mom.
We love our moms, for better or for worse. They show us the way. And my mom passed away when Luca, I had a C-section with Luca, and he was 4 days old. And then she got diagnosed with cancer, and she died when he was 3 months old.
Oh my gosh.
Which is fucking gnarly and really puts your life into perspective. And I know I don't feel sad that we had unfinished business. I'm just so sad that she's like not here to like be a part of my kids' lives and like see where my business is. I mean, she would like go into stores that sold my jewelry and be like, "This is my daughter's." I mean, she was like the cutest number one fan. So yeah, I would say my mom.
I love that.
Oh, we love moms.
We love moms. Life's fucking hard.
Yeah.
I know.
It's like beautiful and messy and hard and exhausting. And like my 3-year-old, he like just dropped his nap at school. And so he just like comes home every day like a fucking zombie. And he's like, "Mama, I'm so tired. Can I just lay down?" I was like, "Welcome to the rest of your life."
Yeah. I'm fucking like, tired too.
After 3, there's no more naps.
That's it.
You're done.
That's it.
That's so funny.
Get ready to be tired for the next 50 years.
Don't even get me started on like the lack of sleep in the United States, but he should start
next week. I want to talk about the lack of sleep in the United States with you, Greta.
That's an amazing
topic for our next episode.
I mean, we're so under, no one gets enough sleep.
No.
Like the Sleep Association in the United States has been pushing public schools to start like an hour later, being like teenagers literally cannot function on this little sleep.
Yeah.
I mean, especially when you're a kid, your growth hormone only works when you're sleeping.
Sorry, I brought us down a path.
No, it's fine. I get very passionate about sleep.
Yeah. But I agree. Okay, everyone. So you can follow Arielle at Arielle Gordon Jewelry on Instagram. Check out her jewels. She also posts really fun quotes like this one that says, No one is more full of shit than a parent that just said maybe. Again, I'm not a parent, hashtag but I feel like I would get that. I feel like that. Also, I feel something there.
Also, this is a great, like, all of these jewels are so gorgeous.
They're beautiful.
Thank you.
Delicate.
And they're it's fine jewelry. So
all fine jewelry made in LA.
I was actually with a friend last night, and she was like, all my jewelry is by Ariel. Ooh. And she like pulled up her necklaces, her earrings, all that. I was like, okay, you need to relax.
I love me a super
fan. She was dripping in your jewels.
Love that.
Yeah.
Wow. Rich friend, Jilly.
You know, business owner, entrepreneur. She's a
there
CEO.
You go.
Yeah, go
so
get you it. You buy your own jewelry, girl.
Exactly. Yes. You know what?
You don't wait for a man to buy you that necklace.
Who's going to buy a piece of your jewelry? Our girl with the horse and Audi.
Exactly. Okay? Girl, you know what, girl? You shoot me an email, Ariel@arielgordonjewelry.com. Let me hook you up.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, thank you guys so much for listening.
Oh, my God, yes. Thank you for listening.
Thanks.
Listen next week and stay positive.
Yeah, and also like us on iTunes.
Yes.
Leave a message and 5 stars in the Apple Podcasts. Okay, bye.
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 That was a HeadGum Podcast.